Welcome back. You're listening to This Week with Justin McCarthy. The campaigns officer at the Irish Wildlife Trust has resigned from his position after a blog he wrote criticising farming organisations was edited and parts of it removed. Pádraig Fogarty said he believes the edits were made after a complaint about the blog was made to the Irish Wildlife Trust's board by the Irish Farmers Association. The blog, which was published on the Irish Wildlife Trust's website, accused farming organisations of spreading far-right conspiracy theories and undermining climate science. The IFA said it was defamatory and divisive. This week's Elaine Devlin has been explaining the background to what happened.
Well, this is all about a blog by Pádraig Fogarty. He's the campaign officer for the Irish Wildlife Trust. That's an organisation that works to protect wildlife and habitats. Mr Fogarty has worked for them for 3 years, and before that he was a volunteer for 20 years. He's a frequent commentator on radio, television, in newspapers and online about environmental issues and biodiversity.
So he wrote a blog on the Irish Wildlife Trust's website. What was it about?
The blog was entitled Drift of the Farm Organisations, and it was critical of the farming bodies. He claimed that Irish farm organisations are lurching to the far right, happy to spread conspiracy theories, undermine scientists and convince their members that their way of life is under attack by an urban elite. He also said they have adopted a hard no position on nearly all measures designed to address climate and biodiversity emergencies. And he said they had become a kind of DUP of Irish civil society.
Now, the IFA, the Irish Farmers Association, which is the biggest farming organisation, it was not happy.
No, it certainly was not happy, and it made a complaint about the blog to the board of the Irish Wildlife Trust. The IFA told this programme that some of the contents in the blog were defamatory and extremely divisive. It said it's seeking a meeting with the board of the Irish Wildlife Trust to discuss the article. But it also noted that changes were made to the original article, removing what it claims were some of the defamatory comments. However, it says much of what remains online is still extremely divisive.
So the article was edited. It was changed.
Yeah. Changes were made to the article, taking out the reference to the far right and also to the DUP. The changes are small. The more inflammatory language was toned down. The piece is still up on the Irish Wildlife Trust website, and it features a prominent disclaimer making it clear that the blog represents the views of the author and is not the position of the trust itself.
So what happened then when those changes were made to the blog?
Well, what happened was Pádraig Fogarty, the author of the piece, resigned. Now, he is the most prominent figure in that organisation. He's their main spokesperson and is the public face of the Irish Wildlife Trust. He said he was not happy with the editing of his blog and the decision, as he puts it, to capitulate to the IFA.
And we spoke to Pádraig Fogarty earlier, and I began by asking him what point he was trying to make when he wrote that blog.
So I was trying to point out a tendency that I think we've seen for a long time, but I think that it has been particularly sharpened in recent months. And this is about what I see as a very extremist edge to the farming organisations. And I say that advisedly because I have been looking at how they spread disinformation, how they use scaremongering, telling people constantly that they're going to be depossessed of their land, their traditions and so on. And in particular, which we've seen in the last couple of weeks, how they have attacked science. Some of them are deniers of climate and biodiversity loss. And we've seen, particularly in the Joint Oireachtas Committee this week, a very concerted attack on the Environmental Protection Agency, its scientists, its work and the work that they're trying to do around water quality.
And the farming organisations, no doubt, would reject much of what you're saying there. But you said, and this part was taken out of your blog, you said that Irish farm organisations are increasingly lurching to the far right, happy to spread conspiracy theories and undermine scientists. When we talk about the far right in this country, that is highly provocative language. It has connotations with racism, with anti-immigrant sentiment, even with violence. It's obvious, isn't it, why the farming organisations would reject that term, isn't it?
Oh, I can see why they would be upset. But we've also seen across Europe how the far right is increasingly using the climate and the biodiversity crisis to stoke unrest. We saw that, I think, in particularly sharp relief during the debate around the nature restoration law, where the EPP really was going after the votes of far right parties in other European countries.
Yeah, but you're talking about Irish organisations here, Pádraig, and the Irish farm organisations aren't involved in anything like racism or anti-immigrant sentiment or violence or anything like that.
I'm not accusing them of being involved in racism or anti-immigrant violence, absolutely not. I am accusing them of being part of the element of the far-right movement in Europe, which is targeting rural communities, it's targeting climate and biodiversity action.
Do you accept that your piece was divisive? I mean, when you say that farming organisations are happy to spread conspiracy theories, and you suggest that they're becoming a kind of DUP of Irish society. That is divisive. It's certainly not constructive language or a constructive description.
Yeah, I was trying to make the point that the many farmers that I have spoken to and visited over the last number of years are very anxious about their livelihoods. They're also very concerned about climate and biodiversity loss. But on the other hand, we have seen how the farming organisations have basically adopted a rejectionist stance on pretty much everything. This goes back to setting emission ceilings for the Climate Act. We can include the Citizens' Assembly on biodiversity laws, moves to limit pesticides, the EU's biodiversity farm to fork strategy, and of course, most recently, the efforts to reject outright the nature restoration law. So this is what I've seen as a total rejectionist approach to the environmental agenda.
Your blog, which is on the website of the Irish Wildlife Trust, it was edited, and that reference to farm organisations lurching to the far right was removed. Were you told it was going to be edited?
Yes, I was. I was told it was going to be edited, but I wasn't part of any discussion about why that decision was made. And so for that reason, I felt that I couldn't support the position of the board, and I felt my position was untenable. And so I had to resign from the Irish Wildlife Trust.
We know that the IFA complained to the board of the Irish Wildlife Trust about your piece. Is it your view that the edits, the changes to your blog were made because of that complaint from the IFA?
Yeah, I certainly think that was in the mix. The blog was online for nearly a week. We didn't receive any complaints from any of our members. I certainly didn't receive any complaints up to that. I knew people, of course, were disagreeing with it. But things only escalated when the IFA made the complaint. And so a part of why I'm feeling uneasy is that I feel it has at least in part been a capitulation to the IFA. And I feel this is a very important debate that we need to be having. And we need to be standing up for nature, given the enormous catastrophe we're facing in the climate collapse and biodiversity destruction.
So you believe the board of the Irish Wildlife Trust made the wrong decision here in, it would seem, accepting some of the criticisms made by the IFA to the point where they edited your article?
Yes, and that fundamentally is the nub of the issue. I mean, I have been involved with the Irish Wildlife Trust for 20 years. It is one of the most amazing environmental organisations we've had in Ireland, and it has absolutely amazing staff. But I felt that in this instance, the board moved ahead and didn't give me room to manoeuvre, as it were, or a position that I could support, and therefore I can't obviously be speaking in public against the board of the Irish Wildlife Trust, and so felt the most appropriate thing to do was resign.
You are a familiar commentator on radio and television and print as well and online about wildlife biodiversity issues. And you are, because of the position that you hold with the Irish or have held with the Irish Wildlife Trust. Now that you have resigned from the Irish Wildlife Trust, will you continue to speak out on these issues, or is that you finished speaking on these issues?
Oh, absolutely not. I will continue to speak out on these issues. I think anybody, even looking at events in the Mediterranean this week and other parts of the world, will see that we're facing absolute calamity, and that the biodiversity situation, in particular in Ireland, is disastrous. So I have no intention in stopping the work that I do or have been doing, and I just need to find a new way of doing it.
That was Pádraig Fógarty, formerly of the Irish Wildlife Trust, explaining why he resigned from the organisation. Elaine Devlin is still with us. Elaine, has there been any response from the board of the Irish Wildlife Trust? Have they had anything to say about all of this?
Yes, well, the board of the Irish Wildlife Trust issued us with a two-line statement this morning, simply saying it acknowledges with regret Mr Fógarty's resignation and describing him as a true advocate of nature. The Irish Wildlife Trust said it wishes Mr Fógarty well with his future endeavours.
That was this week's Elaine Devlin reporting.